Rock and roll!
Rock and roll!
Get it!
No, this way.
Rock and roll!
Rock and roll!
There we go!
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of East to West with Nick and Rob. My name is Rob.
My name is Nick. Hey, Rob. Hello, Cleveland.
It's that time of the year that all the musicians look forward to, getting inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
That's the way you guys think. Think everything's going to happen to you. You got to make it happen.
What are we talking about today, Rob?
Well, we're going to talk about the nominees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We can break it down to who's been nominated, how they get nominated in the first place, and what our votes as the regular common folk means to the people getting into the hall.
We will tag it on the podcast description. It is vote.rockhall.com. I voted yesterday. I voted today. I will vote early. I will vote often.
But there is one inductee that we hope absolutely positively gets in, and we'll discuss that.
We got the beat.
So let's go over who's actually been nominated this year.
Right. Let's go through the list here. You walk us through the list, Rob, and we'll do a little bit on each individual artist here.
First up is Mary J. Blige.
Good artist. Maybe she's in her early 50s, right? The breadth of her career, certainly warranted, probably worthy, but maybe feels a little too soon for me.
This is her first nomination. And to be eligible to be nominated, you have to be either an individual artist or a band, and your first commercial release has to be at least 25 years prior to the year of nomination. So she has been in the industry for 25 years.
It's insane to think of it like that, right?
It is insane. Seven of these people out of this list is their first time on the ballot. So
she's great on that Starz show. What's the 411? Was that her debut album? It's a really good album. And she's worked with countless artists, obviously Puff Daddy and Method Man and Nas. I don't know who else. So I think she's worthy. But again, you like you said, the rules say 25 years of service. This is her first time being nominated. We can get her in a couple years down the road. It's not going to kill anybody.
If she gets nominated, fine. It's not a bad nomination. But if she doesn't, let's just hope that her song, I'm Going Down, doesn't mean that she's going down and out. She'll be back again. Next up, we got English songstress, an ethereal type of songstress, Kate Bush.
Kate Bush feels like an Uncle Bookie type of artist. Am I wrong about that?
Oh, you're very, very wrong. Very wrong.
Super British.
Kate Bush, oh, that has nothing to do with it. But Kate Bush is the type of artist that I would listen to if I had insomnia.
Yeah.
And I haven't slept in days, because I think she would be the one that would help cure the insomnia.
Yeah, these are like long instrumental. This is like Peter Gabriel Genesis, long, like thematic instrumentals.
Very
but,
theatrical.
Obviously very musically talented, very theatrical, very musically talented for sure. She's 62. Again, the breadth of her career, obviously probably worthy, but she doesn't make my top five. No, sir.
Next up, we have Devo.
Whip It.
Now That's it. There's their one song. That's all they need to get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Actually, these guys have actually done better as individuals after Devo.
Can I go on a quick side tangent, Uncle Bookie? Let me ask you this question. Sometimes a one-hit wonder, it's an incredibly impactful, meaningful, or just great, catchy tune. Are you okay putting one-hit wonder types? Generally, these people go on and produce and do other things, obviously, in music. But are you okay with putting like a one-hit wonder type into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, or that's not good enough for you?
Well, actually, what they should do is they are going to expand the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, literally and figuratively.
Like just put the song in, right? Something like that?
I think they should have a hall of one-hit wonders.
Oh, I like that idea. Yeah, that's interesting. I'll buy that. I'll allow it. You know what, Rob? I'll allow it.
Because what's funny is most people remember a one-hit wonder crappy song from an artist over an entire catalog of a band.
It could be. Yeah, I mean, they're definitely putting the Rembrandt's Friend song in there and Deep Blue Something Breakfast at Tiffany's if I had a vote.
Right, and Tacos putting on the rest.
Macarena? Fucking Macarena gets in. First ballot, baby.
Well, there is an individual on this list who's in band is on this list who had a huge one-hit song, and he could possibly go in for that if they open up the Hall of One-Hit Wonders.
I like that. It's like the steroid hall for baseball or something, the one-hit hall for Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Tell me if that exists. You don't walk to that set of the building. Of course you're going in there and walking around in there.
Of course you are. It's going to be the asterisk wing.
Hands down. Come on. What are we being so snuffy about it?
Without music, there is no life. That's,
I like it. All right, who's up next?
The Foo Fighters.
The Foo Fighters are incredible. I remember I was one of those people, it's a very controversial hot take for me, years and years ago, where I said the Foo Fighters are better than Nirvana. And I remember when I first heard the Foo Fighters, I sort of turned my nose up to them and I'm like, why is the drummer from Nirvana lead singer in this weird band? But in 97, when the Color and the Shape came out with Hero on it, I mean, it's a great album and their sound was so cool. Traditional pop rock sort of, but they evolved into so much more. They are absolutely a great band, legacy band, and they have done so much producing. They've been around in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, playing in the background and just hanging out, inducting people, whatever, for years now. I think they should get in, but honestly, Rob, it feels a little bit too early for them too. I'm not sure they make my list just because I want 2-3 more good albums, and you know, they've got some time to get in.
Right, a great band, and Dave Grohl is pretty much a musical genius when it comes to just basically playing instruments, singing, writing, producing.
Being an ambassador for music, like, in general.
Exactly.
And the videos. The videos are great.
The videos are excellent from the Foo Fighters, but it's not like he's going to be, the Foo Fighters are going to be the Mike Trout of the Hall of Fame, where they go in, bam, first ballot. It's not going to be like the Tom Brady of the Hall of Fame, bam, first ballot, he's in.
Thank you for mentioning that.
I'm only mentioning that because I looked at the numbers today, and I'm going to quote something from the Dave Chappelle Show. I'm rich, biatch.
Yeah, they have made a ton of great albums, and they've gone to the double albums. They've just done so much and have been a part of so much other things, like producing and being ambassadors of the music. Again, I think they're absolutely getting in. I just don't know that this year is the right year to put them in.
Next up is the band that we want in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Not going to say the name just yet. This band wrote all their music. They played all their own instruments. They were beautiful to look at. No, it's not the Foo Fighters, folks. It's
Dave Grohl is a sex machine.
The Go-Go's.
We got the beat. The Go-Go's, again, we watched this last year. We talked about this season one of E2W. That documentary, I think, single-handedly turned my entire perception of this band around. I've always been a fan, but now, like, I'm a super fan. I am pounding on the doors of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland saying, let me in, let my people go, put the Go-Go's in. Belinda Carlisle, Gina Shaw, Kathy Valentine, Jane Wielden, all the other members. I don't know how exactly it works with the past members, Paula Jean Brown and the rest of them. That band, the breadth of their career, 7 million plus albums. Like you said, female manager, single-handedly sort of changed the face of rock and roll in a way that I don't think people thought they could. They came out of the punk scene and evolved into a much more sophisticated pop sound. They are absolutely deserved. They should already be in. It's kind of a travesty they're not in yet. So let's make it right. Let's get them in. Vote early. Vote often. Vote for the Go-Go's. Vote.rockhall.com, please.
Next up, second wave of the British Invasion. We all know what the first wave of the British Invasion was. That obviously was the Beatles. This is a band of part of the second wave of the British Invasion. One of the best live band acts you will ever see, Iron Maiden.
Bring out the Iron Maiden. I think they're actually going to get in. They are sort of a little bit before my time, and I have never sort of embraced their music, but I have no problem if they get in. They don't make my list.
They don't make your list, but they're going to make a lot of other people's lists, and I do believe that they are going to get in. I mean, the artwork alone on their albums is legendary, so.
They are a really interesting band with a lot of fans. I think they're still together, right, Uncle Bookie?
They are still together, still touring when they could tour.
Right.
You know, it actually helps out when your lead vocalist, the Bruce Dickinson, He is a licensed commercial airline pilot.
Wow. Yeah, that's just, I mean, if that doesn't get him in, I don't know what will.
On top of being a actual professional fencer, and he could have actually been in the Olympics as a fencer.
It's unbelievable, right? I remember seeing like Gina Davis doing archery and almost making the Olympic team. And I'm like, it's not fair that these people are this talented. It's not fair.
It's unbelievable. And he has like a 5-octave range, so.
All right, who's up next, Rob?
Okay, next up is from New York City, Jay-Z.
H to the Izzo.
E to the Izzo.
I'm going
to
surprise you with this one, I think. Jay-Z has sold 50 million records. I mean, I can drop the mic right there, but he's also produced. He's part of the super couple of Beyonce and Jay-Z. He's done a ton of philanthropic stuff. He has also sort of shepherded in a way that turned American rap music even more commercial than it already kind of was. It's hard for me not to put him in here. I know he's only 51 years old, and you think like, well, he can get in a little bit down the road. road, but he feels like, is this his first time on the ballot?
He's a first-time ballotee.
He feels like a first-time ballot let him in the door. I kind of have him. I kind of want to put him on my list. He's right on the edge of my list, but I think he is deserved.
Like I said, he's got 99 problems, but a nomination ain't one.
Boom.
Next up is a woman who's been nominated before, so it's not her first time to be nominated. Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan.
I think she, like, it doesn't bother me that she would get in. You said, what was the band that she was in? I always forget.
She was in Rufus. And Rufus, if you recall, their big song was Tell Me Something Good.
Yeah, great song. All-timer.
One of the greatest bass lines is in that song. When you have that song playing and you crank it up, pull your bass up on your system, you will feel that bass going through you.
At the end of this, we're both going to give our top fives. I'd be interested to see if she makes your top five. So this is Chaka Khan solo. But yeah, I think if she gets in, totally fine with it. I don't think she quite makes my list.
Okay, next up is the woman, the natural woman, the natural songwriting woman.
You make me feel.
Carole King.
Carole King. And I don't want to rant too much. I already ranted about the Go-Go's. It is an embarrassment that Carole King isn't already in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. What the F? I can't believe she's not already in. It's super silly. If the song wasn't written by the Bee Gees, it was written by Carole King. That's how this works, all right? Forget her own career with Tapestry and all the great stuff she's done by herself and the stuff she did with James Taylor. She's written songs for everybody. Everybody. It's an embarrassment she's not already in. Put her in, please.
Well, actually, to tell you the truth, Carole King actually is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
As so, what?
As a songwriter.
Oh, she got the songwriting nod, but she hasn't got the performer nod?
Right, for her own
stuff. I don't
stuff.
Understand the rules here.
So,
what the heck does that mean?
What will happen is, and another person who's on this on the ballot for this year is Tina Turner. So let me just give you a little what's going on. Tina Turner, Carole King, if they get in, will become the second and third female artist inducted twice.
Really interesting. Interesting.
Do you know who the first one is?
The wheels are turning. I don't know. Tell me who it is.
With Fleetwood Mac and as a solo career artist, Stevie Nicks was the first female to be inducted into the Hall of Fame twice.
That kind of surprises me. You put Stevie Nicks in before Carole King?
It's a little bit weird how the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame works. Like I said, I would explain it to you how this goes down. There is 1,000 musical experts, and I say experts in quotation. And what they do is they compile their lists of whom they believe should be the nominees. And then they take these 1,000 people's lists and they break it down into who gets the most votes out of them. And then that's what they use to get onto the ballot for the particular year. Then there's the public vote, which is the one we're talking about. The public vote is 25% of what will actually come down to get the person into the Rock Hall of Fame. Doesn't mean that they're going to get in.
It feels overcomplicated to me. It should just be Paul McCartney and Smokey Robinson and like a bottle of good scotch and they just let them in.
Exactly. Like I've said before, once you hit 25 years in the industry with at least a career where you've had some hits that charted, you wrote some great songs, for 25 years, you should automatically go into the Rock Hall of Fame and then just forget all of the other stuff about voting in and whatever.
Why overcomplicate it with the goofy algorithm? To me, you know, it's a little bit weird, you know, Ringo gets in solo, Ringo gets in with the Beatles, this kind of thing. Like, yeah, I get it. It's deserved. And it's always fun to see these concerts. HBO does a great job of always putting them on. We always have a good time. I think it's Paul Schaefer that is generally there orchestrating that. But, you know, don't overcomplicate stuff. Let's get these people that need to be in. Let's not have a weird algorithm where like they're 0.3% off so we don't let the Go-Go's in or something. That's just foolish.
Okay, next up, we'll just let you say the number of wives this guy had. And then we'll just move on.
I had to Google him. I'm just full disclosure. I'm like, wait, what? And then the first thing I saw is the only thing I can remember. He probably plays every instrument ever invented. But yeah, the 27 wives, that's a showstopper.
He's one of the kings of Afropop. He actually had a Broadway play, I believe, also. Fela Kuti. He's passed away, I believe. Never heard of this guy before this nomination. However, I probably heard his music. We've all probably heard his music. I mean, yeah. Google him.
Incredible. Yeah, once you read, it's an impressive of Google, he is clearly going to get in and probably deserves to get in. He did not make my list only because I'm ignorant and I don't know enough about him.
Next up is The Ladies Love Cool James, LL Cool J.
Mama said knock you out.
Going back to Cali.
I know you like LL Cool J a little bit more than I do. I feel like he should be in like the CBS All Access Hall of Fame, but not necessarily the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't think the breadth of his career just musically was quite profound enough, but I could be ignorant about that as well. If he gets in, it's certainly not going to make me mad, but I think it's Jay-Z's also on the ballot here. You got to get Jay-Z in first.
LL Cool J is not a first-time ballot, so he has been nominated before. So is he due? I mean, he hasn't made an album, I believe, in like 5-6 years. So
I think longer.
If not longer. I mean, he's been busy acting.
Getting all that CBS money.
He is also one that has drunk from the fountain of youth. He is ageless.
Yeah, good point. He is absolutely ageless. I don't know if it's just a hat game or what, but he looks the same my whole life. He's looked the same.
I think he's on the TB12 method.
The avocados, baby.
So after that is one of the innovators of punk rock music, cross-dressing, probably the inspiration for Poison, Motley Crue, Kiss, yeah. Who knows? The New York Dolls.
Yeah, the New York Dolls. I was going to say Maybelline. I'm not sure that I like that much blush when we're rocking out, but hey, whatever, man, whatever works for you. I do think the New York Dolls were incredibly influential for other bands. I think that's really their legacy, their own sort of songbook and breadth of their career. I don't listen to them a lot on my iPod and stuff, so maybe it's just that I'm not super versed with them. They don't make my list, but if they get in, it's not somebody that I'm rolling my eyes at.
I honestly could not name you one single song from the New York Dolls. I don't know of any of their songs. I don't think they got radio airplay. However, their lead guy, David Johansen, the one we were talking about,
right,
could be in that little wing off to the side of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame of the wing of one-hit wonders with Hot, Hot, Hot. So,
yeah, super flamboyant, kind of a Mick Jagger light kind of guy in my mind.
Right, and he's an actor too. I mean, Scrooge. Yep.
Scrooge, hello. He's great in Scrooge. Yeah, Free Jack. I don't know if anybody ever saw that movie. Good movie.
But, you know, David Johansen as an individual going in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a one-hit wonder, yes. Not the first time that these guys have been on the ballot, however. So it's a long road for them to get in. I mean, they've been eligible for decades.
The breadth of just the career as that band, considering the rules of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I don't think they get in. I'm not sure they get in this time. Maybe they just don't get in at all.
Okay. The next artist, band, very influential, very political, a very political band, and I believe one of the first bands to play Cuba in a long time, a concert for Cuba, Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, Rage Against the Machine was a lot of my youth, and their sound was incredibly unique. Zach De La Rocha, Tom Morello, Brad Wilk, the original lineup. I don't know exactly how much they've split up and got back together. It seems like quite a few times. I think the Audio Slave, right? Everybody but Zach went and did Audio Slave, and they made a couple of great albums on top of that. So their sound is incredibly unique. Feels a little too early for them also. I think they were started right at the cusp of the 90s, 91, 92, somewhere in there. So I feel like they have a little bit more time to get in. But if they get in, I think they are deserved, and I think they're on their way to get in if they don't get in this
year. Also, they are not first-time nominees, so they've had a long, illustrious career. I believe they're going on their 30th year. I mean, they still do concerts, but they're not a touring band. For what it was worth and for the climate that they came up in, probably a lot of people will vote for them. But like I said, the people's votes versus the actual experts' votes, thin line between getting in and, you know, or a thin line between clever and stupid.
But absolutely vote. And I mean, you know, I think, like you said, they have a huge fan base. If I recall, it was not too far before COVID hit that they announced that they were going to do like a world tour and possibly a new album. I don't totally remember. And then obviously COVID happened and everything sort of got pushed back a little bit. But I think that they're together and I think we're going to see them tour again. So the early 90s, like you said, about 30 years now, they deserve to get in, but I think it's still a little bit too early for them.
Next up, we have a man who really does not care if he gets in or not. He's more of a musician for the people. He'd rather rely on people just being his fans and loving his music and whatever. But Todd Rundgren.
Yeah, he's really good. And again, he has influenced a ton of people. I Saw the Light. It's one of my favorite songs he does. I think that even as a producer, I don't exactly know. Again, you broke down the rules, so this is as an artist. But as a producer, he's done a ton of stuff, including on working on Meatloaf's Bad Out of Hell album, which I've always really loved, and the Badfinger Straight Up album, which is also a really good album if you haven't listened to that in a while. while. He deserves to get in. He doesn't make my list just because if you're talking about as a solo artist, I don't think he cares, like you said, so that's part of it. But also, like, the breadth of his career and the amount of songs I like, Hello, It's Me or whatever, I there's not a ton of them enough for me to, like, absolutely put him in for sure, so.
Right. I mean, I believe he's in with another band, but I'm not sure. I mean, he was in the band Utopia. Like you said, he worked with Meatloaf. He actually worked on the New York Dolls.
Oh, that's cool, yeah.
Funk Railroad, he was on there as a producer.
Badfinger. American Bam.
Badfinger. And XTC, if you remember XTC's big song, Dear God, which was huge.
Good tune,
song.
Yeah, good tune.
Like I said, he's been around forever.
He's kind of like one of those workhorse musicians, almost like a Jeff Lynne type that pops up all the time to play at like a concert with somebody else or something. Very workmanlike, like you said. I don't think that the accolades really matter to him. But at 72 years old, he's certainly got the age requirement and the breadth of his career and the notes on his resume are impressive. I just don't think as a solo artist, he did quite enough for me.
It's funny you mentioned Jeff Lynne, another artist who's defying the process of aging as well. Yeah. I mean, he's also in the fountain of youth.
He looked the same. He's always looked like 45 to me for like, I don't know, 100 years now or something.
Yeah. All right. Now we're down to the final two nominees. One of them is a first-time nominee, which is crazy. And another one who's actually already in the Rock Hall of Fame with her husband, and that's our next artist, and that's Tina Turner. So as a solo artist,
I don't care who's wrong or right, I don't really want to fight no more. I'll sing that whole song if you let me.
No.
She's great with Ike. That's great. Like, as you mentioned, she's already in. She's unbelievable as a solo artist. She's got a ton of hits.
Nick, you said she's great. No, Nick, she's simply the best.
Better than all the rest. I think they used her in the Michael Jordan Last Dance documentary, and it was just priceless. Private Dancer is an incredible song. We don't need another hero. That's the crappy Mad Max song.
Thunderdome.
Thunderdome. And then, like I've said before, I know we've talked off pod about this a little bit, GoldenEye. I remember when Pierce Brosnan gets the job as Bond, I was happy to see him because he almost got the job as Bond before that, and she did the GoldenEye theme for that first movie with Sean Bean and everybody. And I remember thinking, like, this is the perfect choice to do a James Bond opening theme song. And I still like that song. Good tune.
She needs to be in the Rock Hall of Fame. She's been retired for a while.
She's 81.
There was rumors. I mean, we'll talk about this on a pod upcoming about reality shows, or actually not really reality shows, but game shows that have been out. And we're going to have a huge discussion about game shows. But she was on The Masked Singer in people's minds as certain artists that were singing. And I'm thinking myself, she's in retirement. She's living her life to the fullest. She's actually enjoying her money, and she has been for the last 50 or so years.
She's in Switzerland. She doesn't even live in, I don't think, in the continental United States. She loves Switzerland, as I recall.
Nope. She moved out of Flatbush and moved over to, you know, Switzerland. And now the final artist nominee, first-time ballot, Miss Dionne Warwick.
80 years old. Please don't mention the Psychic Network.
Well,
she's deserved.
She would have known that she was being nominated this year.
She already knows if she's getting in.
She already knows if she's getting in. She's got her network going.
Power of the mind, baby. Shouts to my mother, that's what friends are for. It was one of her favorite songs. I know that. Just an incredible singer, incredible vocalist. And for my money, I think she's deserved and should get in. You said this is the first time on the ballot, so maybe she can get in a year or two. I don't like it when I see somebody like Bill Withers, for example, get in, and then he passes away a year or two later. That always makes me really sad and breaks my heart.
Or an artist gets in after they've died.
Even like, worse, right? Even worse.
Lou Reed got in as a member of the Velvet Underground, but as a solo artist, he didn't get in by himself until after he had passed away.
Like, devastating.
Bella Cootie here, who I believe is leading the people's vote by a landslide, they want him in, but he's passed away. So
it's a lot of wives, you know, weighs on you.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, but I think Dionne Warwick is deserved, and I think she's going to make my top five here.
In reality, who are your top five?
All right, I'm going to give them to you straight, and then you give me yours. I'll go bottom to top, not that it really matters. I'm a little bit weary on the 4-5 spot, but I go Jay-Z 5, Dionne Warwick 4, Tina Turner 3, Carole King 2, and number one, baby, the Go-Go's. No contest. I'd like to sing Mercenary, Rob. Is that okay? You going to let me sing Mercenary?
You can sing it off pod. I'll turn the mics off and you can sing it. How's that?
I'll take it. I'll allow it.
Well, Dick said I'll allow it. Anybody who's playing the East to West drinking game, take a shot.
I'll allow it.
Salut.
All right, here's my top five. in no particular order. I'm just going to put it out there because my votes change daily with the exception of three of these artists. So there's like, I have two that I go back and forth around. So my five are Carole King.
No brainer.
Iron Maiden.
I knew you were going to have them.
Rage Against the Machine.
Ah, you go Rage, huh? That's surprising. Okay.
Tina Turner.
Yep, no doubt.
Without a doubt. First time ballot. They need to be in the Rock Hall of Fame for all of their accolades. And I'll say it again. Wrote all their own music, played all their own instruments. The Go-Go's, baby.
So one more time, just so everybody knows, vote.rockhall.com. Do your civic duty. Vote for the Go-Go's.
I think they're going to have 10% of the audience filled in.
I don't know how they're going to do it, but I'll be watching. I watch every year on HBO. It's one of those things that like, I love to do when I'm ironing my clothes or whatever. I stick that thing on. It's like 5 hours long, and it's amazing.
I love watching that. I mean, the Bruce Springsteen one alone was like, I think, 3 days.
And I love just who shows up. Like, there are the nominees, and then you find out who's inducting them in. I don't always agree with who's inducting them in. Every once in a while, I'll quibble or roll my eyes. But also, who shows up when they perform, you know? I remember it was heartbreaking for me when Journey gets in, Steve Perry's up on the stage, but then he doesn't sing. It just broke my heart.
Say you got an invite to go to the Rock Hall of Fame. So you want to get nice and spiffied up.
I'm dressing like, up for that, no question.
You're going to dress up for that. You're going to wear your tatted jeans and, you know.
I'm going to wear my Third Eye Blind t-shirt, no question about that.
Yeah. What you have to do is your hair game has to be on point. So.
Yes. Yeah. I got to show up Billy Idol. So I gotta look good.
Billy Idol or Billie Eilish?
Both. I got to show up both. Billie Eilish, tough. She got that green highlight thing. That's pretty cool.
Hard to believe that she's only like 17 or 18.
Does this make you mad? Some people are. I hate when they're young and super talented. It just really bothers me. Like, I just want to punch Justin Bieber.
All this, like, greatness is wasted on the youth.
They're not only are you young and beautiful, but you're also multi-talented and can play, like, every instrument and sound like an angel. No, that's not cool. Get out of here.
Let's get back to it. You want to have your hair game on point. My question is, do you have loyalty to one hairstylist or as men go to, they go to their barbers?
Barbershop loyalty. This is a good question and somewhat complicated for me. I'll give you my answer and I'm curious to see what yours is. I have a guess. I have a thought what yours is. I was very much a loyal barbershop guy. I had one barber and it was like a phone call appointment. I would call him and say, what's a great time to come in? And he would let me know. And that was probably like an 8 or 9 year run when I first got to Vegas. Most people know I was in the military, so I don't have a lot of long haircuts. You know, every once in a while, I'll grow the beard or do something. Back in the day, my mom cut my hair, so I had tails and flobies and it was rough. It's a rough ride there.
Yeah, I remember taking you to a couple of my barbers that
you good looking out.
To straighten you out.
Yeah.
We used to do card shows again. I think I took you to one before we went to a card show. I wanted to.
You were embarrassed. You were embarrassed by my parachute pants and my
your cowlick.
Which I still have, by the way. Now I embrace it. Yeah, I think like I prefer the hot razor, the whole experience, the take your time, the barber. My barber, Bob the Barber, used to have the massager thing where you massage your head a little bit, which was great, the hot shaving cream. He passed away a few years ago, sadly. And ever since he passed away, I have felt weird about going to another barbershop. I think I'll eventually get past it, but I miss him. He was a great guy. And now I sort of just am a nomad, wandering around from one Supercuts to another Great Clips or whatever. Luckily, my hair's short, so it's an easy haircut, kind of a medium fade. So even when it's a bad one, it grows back quick enough. But I want to dip my toe back in. I just have to find the right one, and that process can be tough.
Yep, you have to find the one. I've been going to the same guy now for about 6 years.
And you want
to
give him a plug?
Oh, that's Scotty the Barber. Scotty the Barber in Weymouth on Bridge Street. Great guy.
I thought it was going to be Brutus.
Brutus the Barber Beefcake? No, he works for the team. So
he should have helped Marty. Guy. He should have helped Marty Jannetty. I mean, come on, give him a hand.
Well, the one thing that Scott does not use is, you know, clippers or garden shears to cut your hair. But he gives you a great, fast haircut. Ask if you want the eyebrows trimmed. You know,
I like that. Yep, respect.
Trimmed. He doesn't do a full shave, but he asks if you want your beard, you know, trimmed down if you have a beard or anything like that. That's loyalty. Once you continue going back, they remember you and they take care of you. Many a times I've called them up to say, hey, when are you open till? And he'll say 5 o'clock, and it'll be like 3 minutes to 5. And he goes, oh, Where are you? Come on down. I'll wait for you. And he'd take me. And, you know.
Yeah, I respect that, too. I remember a lot of times for many years, actually, I would wait till near close because we would have great conversations. Bob the Barber was like a jazz musician. He played trumpet, trombone, and I think saxophone. And he had great stories. And he would put on like Tristano and old school jazz. And we'd sort of just hang out for a while. But once you have a relationship like that with a barber, like I said, it's hard to find the next one. And it's going to be a process for me, but I'm looking forward to it.
I just briefly wanted to give you some bands that have been snubbed by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that have been eligible for a long time. One of the bands is the B-52s, not in the hall, they have been eligible since 2004.
They should absolutely be in. Absolutely.
Cool and the Gang, also, since 1995, they have been eligible. They are not
I'm
in the Rock
they're
and Roll
not in. Band. Why are they getting in?
Because I think they're too hot. Too hot, baby.
Yeah, it feels like they deserve it. Yeah, that's crazy.
The man most of us were conceived to is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and has been eligible since 1999. Barry White,
He had a good barber as well. Yeah, Barry White absolutely deserves to get in.
He did have a good barber. George Michael is not in the Rock Hall of Fame.
That's a fucking travesty.
He's dead. He should be in. They usually just put him in when they're dead.
Yeah, that's a fucking travesty. And I can't wait to see who plays his songs when he finally does get in. He absolutely should get in. Not only for the breadth of his career, the great songwriting, he was an ambassador of music too, but also the music video scene. I mean, he just dominated MTV and even VH1 for, 20 years, probably.
Next one has not been nominated yet, I don't believe, but has been eligible since 2016. Singer, songwriter, plays some instruments herself. Mariah Carey, not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Now, I know that's a little controversial, but it's not as controversial as my next two.
I think Mariah Carey deserves to get in. 25 years, right? So she's got to have been around for 30 years now. When she was going toe-to-toe with Whitney, that was one of the best things. They were both pushing each other. It seemed like a sports competition, like Larry Magic or something. Musically, she's so gifted and a songwriter, just an amazingly gifted songwriter. What's your favorite version of Mariah Carey?
My favorite version of Mariah Carey is the
one. She's got different eras, right?
There's the young Mariah Carey.
Early Emotions, Someday. Yeah. Someday.
And there's the Tommy Mottola, Married Years, Mariah Carey, which is...
Great stuff came out of that, those years.
I think I like Mariah Carey now because it's like when you look at Jennifer Lopez and you just keep saying, how can they get any more beautiful?
I agree. And still great music. I mean, a lot of those albums are still really, really good. I liked her in that sweet spot toward the end of that first era after like Emotions and stuff when she did that Unplugged album, which was so good right before Always Be My Baby. That album, which just blew up the world. So I that's my sweet spot for her.
It could also be the Christmas Mariah Carey, too. I mean,
unbelievable. Yeah, you're not going to, there's no wrong answer here.
On her Christmas merits alone, she should be in the Rock Hall of Fame, honestly.
I agree. Santa Super Sleigh. I mean,
and the most controversial bands to not be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Wild Stallions is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I am Ted. Theodore Logan.
And I am Bill S. Preston Esquire.
And together we are
Wild Stallions. And of course, the next band, they toured together, the Lone Rangers. I mean, come on.
I mean, we can't go crazy now. We can't just let anybody in.
They had commercial success. Speaking of commercial, I think it's about time that we talk about our sponsor and let you listen to our commercial.
Anchor.
I am a golden god!
And we are back.
What are we talking about next, Rob?
Well,
not
Nick,
feeling too good.
No. It's the day after the Super Bowl.
That's weird. Too much Bud Light?
We're going to talk about the numbers this year for banging out after the Super Bowl. A little bit different because it's the age of the COVID.
Which I predicted. We talked about this a little bit last episode, that it's not a normal year, so the numbers must be somewhat askew. So I'm fascinated at what you're going to tell me here.
Okay, so this is broken down by percentages out of 100% of the people that were given the opportunity to voice their opinions on what they were doing the day after the Super Bowl.
And whether they were honest about it, right?
And whether they were honest about it. Well, I'm going to say that the 49% is the most honest one we're going to have. And it's 49% of these people said they were afraid to call out fear of them losing their job.
Yeah, and that's a fair fear. I think that this year was such a docile Super Bowl, I would be surprised if it's like crazy high numbers as compared to other years.
Very, very weird season. Weird hearing canned applause and cheering and whatever.
Weird halftime show, kind of like a, you know, mellow halftime show. I know that's I like the Weeknd, as we talked about before, but
sleepy time, kind of
just fine Super Bowl, you know.
The numbers were better on television in the Boston area than they were in the Tampa area,
which is fascinating. Yeah,
very fascinating. So the next
I think
number,
that's two ways. Let me ask your opinion on this, since you brought it up. I know we talked about it very briefly on the last pod. Is that just because they were both haters and lovers of Tom Brady in that area, whereas Tampa was just like, you know, they're Florida, so there's water and beaches and bikinis and whatnot, other stuff to do. They're not a sports town per se, more of a college state. What do you think is the genesis of why that was the case?
A lot of people wanted Tom to fail, and they were all over him for leaving, for being here. However, when he did not fail, a lot of them wanted to watch him possibly achieve even more history.
I feel like that's the case. Even some of the people I know here personally, now I was always on board with the GOAT, as you guys know, but there are people like Bill Simmons, famous people who they had to go through like different stages of the breakup. And by the time he gets to the NFC title game, they were on board by that point.
It just goes to show that you can take the Patriots playbook and put it on any team and they're going to win the Super Bowl.
I was trying to get you to throw some shade. I finally got you there.
Let's go!
You've been so in love the last few days with the GOAT again. I was trying to get you, reel you back in a little.
That's because it's all about money, money, money. The next number is 33%. Now, this 33%, 100% of the people polled said they will be slacking off the day after the Super Bowl at work because they pretty much work at home.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. Like I said, the numbers had to be askew just on the folks that work from home alone. It's one of these things where, like, they can watch the game, chill out, they wake up, they don't really have to get dressed or whatever, climb on board their laptop, and they're ready to go.
10% of the people stated they either already booked a day off or they will be going into work late. Not sure what this means. If they're working from home, do they take a couple of extra hours to sleep it off in the morning?
Half-assed. Or... don't call me and tell me you're going to be late. You either take the day or you don't.
Right. So is that a true number? Is it a false number? Is it just something that they just wanted to say just to take the poll?
Do you think Tom Brady took the day off from his workouts and avocado smoothies the day after he was annihilated in Tampa on a boat?
I'm pretty sure Tom Brady didn't remember a thing.
You know what makes me like him more? That he gets like normal human drunk. I appreciate that. Respect.
Okay. Normal drunk, but that was like obnoxious, like guy at the bar, bounce ass to deal
with
and get
there.
Him out of the bar.
You've been
drunk.
There. You've been there once or twice.
I've been on the other end of it more often than
carrying your buddy home from Summer Shack.
Well, no, don't forget I have worked as a DJ in clubs.
That's
and
great.
As
yeah, I'm sure you've seen it, yeah.
As the DJ, you're also known as the anchor bouncer. So you're the one that's in the club when something happens. And if you see something go down, you have to take care of it. So 8% of the people called in sick the day
just
after Super Bowl.
How does that compare with previous year? Lower, right?
It's much lower than normal. The numbers were pretty much the opposite, in the opposite direction. We had 49% of the people, you know, when they were going to games and people were out partying, whatever, in bars, 49% of people were calling sick, which
it makes sense.
Averaged out to like 16.5 million people. You know,
that makes sense.
Bang out sick. But of these sick people that banged out the 8%, most of those were in Tampa. So...
honestly, like, as usual, these things always make me somewhat uncomfortable when I'm watching them on TV. They're on boats. The boats are right next to each other. It's like spring break at Lake Havasu or something. They're jumping from one boat to another, throwing Lombardi trophies around. It made me a little bit uneasy that that was happening, but at the same time, I would love to be out celebrating, going to movie theaters and dinners and things like that also, so I get it.
Right. As far as the Lombardi trophy goes and chucking it around, Tom, you've been there before. You don't do that.
It was a ginger toss. It wasn't that big a deal.
Still, what if the other boat in front of him took off?
The other guy caught it soft, like he was going to catch an avocado or something without squishing it.
Yeah, but just imagine if that didn't happen. What
I know, right?
Went to the bottom of the lake. You don't treat the trophy like that. Do you think that they popped more champagne the day of the parade than at the Super Bowl?
You know what? It seemed like it was champagne at the Super Bowl, although, like I said, I kind of fell asleep when the game was over, and it was more tequila at the parade. Champagne.
Well, speaking of champagne, you know what that means.
Bubbles! Bubble Talks back, 2021 style. Pop those bubbles.
Oh, ginger ale, ginger pop, ginger beer, beer bubbles, bubble aid, bubble cola, double bubble burpa cola, and all the crazy carbonated stuff that tickles your nose.
Bubble Talk's back, baby. First thing on the docket, we're just going to do a little medley of sports news, and I have to get Uncle Bookie's take on the Carson Wentz deal. I was somewhat shocked what the package actually was. He goes to the Colts, ostensibly replacing Phillip Rivers, and he gets traded for a third rounder in 2021. Not even a clean, but a conditional second rounder on 2022. That's A, weird. B, do you think the Eagles got enough? And C, do you think Carson Wentz is better than Phillip Rivers? Or, you know, what's the comparison there? Did they improve at all?
You said he went number one. Apparently with the Eagles, he went number two. And yeah, they got rid of him. They're going to go with Jalen Hurts.
I mean, who I liked. No ifs, kid looked fun.
About it. He looks like he's the quarterback of the future for them. Strong arm. He could run, but he's not one of those guys. It's all about me first in the offense.
Smaller contract. Let's not forget Carson Wentz has that $128 million deal. So the cheap quarterback is the way of the future here in the NFL.
Right. In the Carson Wentz deal, also the Colts will be given an albatross as well.
The Eagles actually have to eat quite a bit of dead money on that, but the Colts are still going to pay the significant remaining of the deal. I think the Eagles have to eat the signing bonus money or the guaranteed money or something. I don't know how these things work out entirely. But can I ask you, in comparison, is Carson Wentz better than the last year's version of Phillip Rivers?
They're hard to compare. Their styles are much different than each other's. Phillip Rivers has been around for a while. He's been very, very close to winning the big game to get into the bigger game.
He played better last year than I thought he would, that's for sure.
He played better. He does have something more that Brady will possibly never have, and that's kids. So
he has a lot of kids. I don't think he's a Catholic, which is weird, too.
No, he was a virgin up until he got married, too, so he had a lot of making up to do.
That's it. That's what's about it. It's never a good idea to do that, kids.
Can you compare them? I don't think so, but I mean, the Colts are a different style of play than a
would
lot of
teams. Would
you
have wanted Wentz in New England? Is that a fair question? Yeah, me neither. Yeah, he holds the ball too long. He almost looks like a broken prospect.
He doesn't finish. He doesn't get to the finish line. He gets close enough, but then he goes down with a massive injury.
Took that one shower with Nick Foles, and that was the end of him.
That was
no
it.
Confidence.
He lost all his confidence with Nick Foles.
Okay, so let me ask this question now. What is the downflow impact of this? We know Jalen Hurts is most likely going to be the Eagles starting quarterback. They'll draft somebody. Carson Wentz will start for the Colts and get a second chance in a new location. What does this mean for Deshaun Watson? What does this mean for people hunting for quarterbacks? Jimmy G, some Marcus Mariota rumors for the Patriots I'm hearing now. Derek Carr possibly on the move. Sam Darnold. There's a lot of quarterbacks that could still be shuffling about. So we have the Matt Stafford deal, which was a bunch of first-rounders. Crazy deal. And now we have the Carson Wentz, which was just a second and a third. What's up? Is Deshaun Watson just going to stay in Houston? What's going to happen next?
I think he's going to stay in Houston. I mean, he's got...
He's going to hold out?
Quarterbacks don't usually hold out. It's not wise for them as that position player to do so. That's
how about the other
off.
News coming out of Houston, Rob? You want to tell the folks about that?
About J.J. Watt?
J.J. Watt released outright. So what kind of signal is that sending to Deshaun Watson, and where's he going to end up?
On the defensive side of the ball, does this make the Texans weaker? Does it make them stronger? Does it make
time.
Them faster?
Brother has had a better last couple of years than he has.
He does get hurt all the time, but his injuries have only come within the last three seasons.
That's
so
fair.
He is definitely a Hall of Famer, and he is one hell of a guy as far as just a human being.
Would you want him on the Patriots?
I would take him for the Patriots if he was like willing to play 1 or 2 years and then retire. It would be a great shot for him to get to a championship.
On the Bucks, you mean?
No, on the Patriots.
Oh, on the Patriots? Okay.
Yeah.
With Jason Stidham and Cam Newton?
They're not going to come back. I mean,
I know we're on two different coasts, but I couldn't tell if it was a mic error or what was going on.
No. Tom Brady is not the linchpin for the Patriots. Never has been. It's a team sport. And all those championship games were all played by the team. They were not played by one individual. Much like if you watch the Bucks, they actually won that game with the defense, which is kind of why Tommy was probably like pouting throughout most of that game anyway.
There's a rumor that JJ could sign with the Browns. Does that get the Browns over the hump?
Team him up with Miles?
They're already good defensively. Yeah, Miles Garrett on the other side. I mean, it could be, they could do a bunch of different combinations, but that could be just a devastating defense. And they run the football a lot, too.
That would be the return of the dog pound years when a certain Belichick was cool.
But last year, I thought they could have won that KC game. They were close. That's without Odell Beckham Jr., too. Now, I know you're in the Jimmy G fan club, and I want to get your perspective on what Boston sports media is talking about. I heard a rumor recently about Marcus Mariota coming to the Patriots. So between Mariota and Jimmy G, who would you rather have taking the snaps in New England?
One's got some seasoning under his belt. Another one doesn't have all the seasoning. So one has playoff experience. The other one does not.
Yeah.
Which one of these things is not like the other? So.
Yeah. Both been hurt a little bit, to be fair. Mm-hmm. Or would you rather them get like a Mac Jones or trade up to get a Josh Fields or something like that? Do you prefer starting over with a young quarterback?
Drafting Mac Jones, Josh Fields, possibly. I mean, there's other guys that are out there that...
Sam Darnold, you know, come on down. It's Irish. Fit right in.
You could work under a coach that's actually going to coach as opposed to a coach that's just, you know,
are
a coach
you,
for the Jets.
Do you think Belichick really wants a quarterback that can run? Is that like he wants that baked in, right?
He wants a quarterback to control the offense and take command of the offense. And the first thing you have to have is confidence. And if you have to make it a mental project with Sam Darnold, I guess that's going to be what it would have to be if they get him. But only time will tell, Nick. Only time will tell.
It's going to be fun leading up to the NFL draft and fun with all the stuff that happens afterward. And like I said, I think there's going to be at least three or four more quarterbacks that change zip codes here. And the Patriots, certainly they have a big hole at the quarterback position and they got to figure something out there. Let me move on to something, some other big news that I got to tell you, I double take this when I saw this on my phone. And then I got a few texts from some of my MLB friends after I saw it. I honestly don't know what to make of it. I know you as the card collecting expert know about this gentleman and, you know, maybe it's warranted. He's crazy young. I want to say he's 22 years old. Fernando Tatis Jr. from Slam Diego signed a 14-year, $340 million contract about a week ago, and that just blows my mind.
Apparently, they have the best attendance the last year as far as, you know, cardboard cutouts. I mean, all those cardboard cutouts showed up for all those games every
I love
game.
That stadium, and I love San Diego, one of my favorite American cities, and I have never once had a problem getting tickets on the day of the game. I'm just throwing that out there. So I don't know where this money comes from.
Do they have a hedge fund investor or something?
Maybe. Not only is it a crazy amount of money per year, but it's also 14 years long. When in the history of baseball has anything over like 8 years, let alone 10 years, worked out? 14 years is a massive investment on a kid, by the way, that I really like. I think he's legit. Like, maybe he's a future Hall of Famer, potentially, but so young. I mean, it just seems reckless.
He's a five-tool player. He's got everything you're looking for in a baseball player. So.
Shades of Mike Trout, maybe a little bit of that?
Yes. Is he up to the par of Mike Trout?
Dare I say shades of Mookie? Bet on Mookie?
You could bet on Mookie. I know that episode is the lowest listened to left episode we have, so.
You know what? Screw you, America. That's my favorite episode. Go F yourself. Yeah, I just think, like, it's weird, A, because it's San Diego and it's not a baseball town per se. I can't help it. I hope they win, and I think they legitimately have a chance to win. Yeah, it's definitely a hockey town. It's a cornhole. It's cornhole town. But no, it's just weird that, A, it's that city and it's that big of a commitment. In Vegas, the Padres are 9-1 to win the World Series. And I do believe that they could compete with the Dodgers and legitimately have a shot this year. But man, that's a lot of money for a long time. And it just blows my mind. It feels like a bad investment.
Yeah, but we'll see. I mean,
Tanner Houck for the Red Sox. I'm telling you, best early. Well, let's move on to some other sports. We're going to spend some time on baseball. Believe me, I'm going to force it. I'm going to force America to listen to that. But the Celtics, I want to say, and I know we're going to do a little stock up, stock down next week, probably. But Celtics are stock down and the Bruins are stock up. The Bruins look great, sort of dominating the Eastern Division. The Celtics, kind of middle of the road, 15-14, 16-14 at the time we're recording here. I feel like they're missing a piece now. I know Marcus Smart won't come back till probably post All-Star game, but to me, it feels like the Celtics are a move away. What's the Boston sports media talking about? Are we going to make that move? What's happening? Do we think we have a shot this year or what? Is our window closing?
Honestly, and I have spoken to you about this, if you're in the city of Boston, you wouldn't know that there was any type of other sports play because all Boston sports radio has been for the last 2 weeks has been talking about Tom Brady.
You see Tommy throw the Lombardi?
Exactly. It's just been over and over and over. This Tom Brady, that. I did not know that the Bruins were in first place.
They're in first place. Absolutely. They played a few more games than everybody else, but they are 10-3-2, and they look fast. I know you were a Chara fan, so was I, but shedding him in a weird way has opened up the speed on both defense and offense. It feels very fluid to them. Now, it's early in the season, so we'll see. They always go through a lull. Rask has been playing lights out, basically, but they are a legit contender the way I see it.
I'm surprised that Rask is playing lights out because...
Me too! I was ready to get rid of him. We talked about it on an episode, right?
Two in the Ritz. It just baffles my mind. I mean, is he going to play great, and then all of a sudden... decide, oh, I don't want to play no more?
Man, hockey players are weird. They're just weird cats, man.
He's a goalie. They're supposed to be like that.
Well, that's really all I have for Bubble Talk, Rob. We could close down the bubble. I'm looking forward to a baseball season that I hope goes out without a hitch. I hope we get some fans in the stands. I hope everybody gets vaccinated. And it's been a pleasure watching basketball and hockey since football has ended.
It has been. It's been great. It's been fun. You know what's good, though? A nice meal.
Food segment. Play the music, baby. What do we got for the food segment this week, Rob?
Okay.
Quint's cooking good looking.
Hey, Quint Pop.
Nothing for you.
You are about to be crushed by a giant corn.
Tina, come get some ham.
It's made with bits of real panther, so you know it's good.
I'm Geffy.
All right, folks, let's talk about Valentine's Day has just passed. We want to know what we've had for a Valentine's Day meal in the past. As a first date, as an engaged couple, as a married couple. So.
I will say there are different rules for the different stages of the relationship you're in, right? Are you like dating? Are you engaged? Are you newlyweds? Have you been married 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, etc.? Each phase has different rules to it. So there's a lot to break down here. Can I ask what you did on Valentine's Day with Mrs. Bookie?
I'm going to tell you, I believe we had some salads and some Popeye's chicken.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's no shame there. By the way, the beignet is incredible. And the chicken strips, the spicy chicken strips, unbelievable stuff.
Chicken strips are great. Apple pie is very good, very tasty, very deceiving.
Underrated apple pie, yep.
And it reminds me of the old McDonald's one. They deep fry it. It's not baked.
Popeyes, you know, a lot of these fast food restaurants have played with the menu a little bit. Popeyes has done that, but they have nailed basically every new thing they have put out, whereas other fast food stuff has whiffed on a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Come on. I mean, this place is just put some weird things out and then they're gone. Limited time only this, limited time
Make
only
rip.
That. Exactly. It's coming up. So don't go looking around for every Shamrock Shake.
Shamrock Shake, baby. McDonald's. We're almost there.
But they don't have them at every McDonald's, which is even weirder.
One Shamrock Shake a year. That's my quota.
So if you're listening to this show when you're a teenager and you want to go out on your date, that's fine to take your date out to a McDonald's. Because hopefully, if you have a job or whatever, if you don't have that much money, it's a good place to go and have your first date, I guess.
I can't imagine what it's like to be like, I don't know, 16 to 25 and single during the COVID years. It's probably mind-boggling, and it's a bummer to think about.
What did you have for your Valentine's Day meal?
So me and Mrs. the Greek ordered out. I lobbied very hard to go out to dinner, but we're not quite there yet here in Vegas, I guess. So we ordered from, and I'll do a quick plug for them, Prosecco Fresh Italian Kitchen here in Las Vegas. It's over there by Eastern and the 215 for those who are local. It is a lovely sort of modern Italian restaurant. They took very good care of us. Everything was nice and organized. Great display, even though it was delivered by Grubhub to us. So we enjoyed it. We had a nice night, and we had some nice leftovers the next day as well. Prosecco Fresh Italian Grill. I highly recommend it.
Here's some don'ts, people, for your date, okay? If you're going to make your first date a Valentine's Day date, don't take your lady out or your guy out to a very fancy, expensive restaurant where you got to wear a tux or a jacket, you know.
Keep it low key, especially that first time.
Right, because then you're going to have to keep, you know, raising the bar. And how far can you raise the bar if you already spent that much money? I'm not saying don't spend money. I'm just saying don't raise the bar that high as far as what to expect.
Capital Grill is like date six after you figured out, like, okay, this could work out.
Exactly. And if you're out on a date, I think the best thing to do is, you know, you want to get to know the person or whatever, you want to talk, just have some appetizers and some drinks. I mean, something you can just nibble on, you can have a conversation with.
Absolutely. Good advice. Light drinks, light food, finger foods, easy stuff to eat. You don't want a giant plate of spaghetti or corn on the cob or like a parsley salad. Nothing terrible like that that's going to mess you up. Keep it light, keep it easy.
You said the plate of spaghetti. And I have to say, there's a commercial out now. That I think it's from Dixie Plates, whatever. And the guy's like, oh, the date was going well. I had the dinner ready. And he comes out and he has this plate of spaghetti. I am talking a huge mound, probably 3 pounds of pasta and about a dozen meatballs on this plate. And he hands it to his girl that's sitting at the table and it's on a paper plate. And of course, what happens? The paper plate implodes and it dumps all over her.
I remember once back in my dating years, I took somebody to an oyster bar. I was just craving oysters, frankly, and it just seemed like a good idea. It did not work out well. Don't ever assume that the person that you don't know anything about really yet is going to be like in love with the idea of oysters, because she was not happy with that. You know, obviously we're from New England. You don't want to take her to Gloucester and get the full lobster and french fries that you got to crack open and lemon squirting everywhere. Stuff like that is overly complicated.
You don't want to take her to Gloucester, get a lobster sandwich, and go sit on the pier and then get attacked by 6,000 seagulls, right?
Yeah, seagulls. The seagulls are coming right for that. It's a great lobster roll, but the seagulls are going to enjoy it more than you are.
These are the don'ts on a date. Don't order anything super garlic heavy. Or just any
onions,
garlic at all.
Probably onions, too. You want to err on the side of caution there.
Exactly.
We're hoping to make out. I mean, it may not happen, but that's always the hope, right?
Oh, yeah. I was hoping to get good night late.
Maybe we disagree on this, but also, like, the stuff you have to pick up that's complicated, like a rib or a lamb chop, also probably not a great idea. Because you're going to want to nibble at that bone, and it's going to look weird.
That's like a weight of it.
I'm not wasting that lamb chop. So, you know, I might like the lady, but I'm going all in on the lamb chop.
You're
going
to act like a rabid dog gnawing on the bone.
Do I have to apologize for that? I mean, maybe she doesn't like me. It's fine. We'll move on.
Exactly. You know, that could be the way to get rid of it. Okay. If you're going out to lunch, don't order a tuna fish sandwich. Don't eat a parsley salad.
Yeah. I never got braces when I was a kid. So they're definitely going in my teeth and I'm probably not checking and that's not going to go well. You know, also, like anything high fiber, right? The beans, the vegetables that are loaded with fiber. You know, you don't want to have to be running to the bathroom every 5 minutes. Also, like, because, you know, I was a big Capriati's guy and on our episodes of sandwiches, Capriati's does a great large sandwich, right? And it's huge, right? It's really like three meals. Don't order the giant fucking sandwich that you look ridiculous eating, that stuff's falling out the sides, the capistrami or whatever. It may taste good and you're going to enjoy it, but it's not going
to
work out.
Yeah, okay. So don't go to Subway and order the 5 foot long sub for your date.
Exactly. Yeah. Not why. Listen, I've seen stuff, man. I'm telling you. I'm not saying I speak from experience, but I've seen stuff.
You're not Jethro from the Beverly Hillbillies. You know, you don't need to eat that much.
Sometimes you got to steer the significant other, the lady or whomever. They may want this stuff and you have to steer it back in.
And if you have a problem eating or if you do have braces, don't order soup and slurp.
Oh man, the French onion soup is a bad call.
Don't go there at all.
I'll have what she's having.
I'm going to say something. You need to go out and you have to find something that you've been craving or something that you want to crave.
Or you know a lot about for conversation purposes, right? Like a restaurant that you have a relationship with the cook or the chef or whoever. That's always a fun thing.
Exactly. And maybe the chef will come out and talk to you. Maybe he'll lift you up with something that, a little special.
You're going
to
get a table for Ray Liotta. Absolutely.
But you know what I like? And there's very few of them here in this state, unless you go out towards the Newton area. And it's very rare that you could find one on the south side of Boston. And I'm talking about a Jewish deli.
Absolutely.
I'm talking about like a New York-style Jewish deli. And there's one near me, Nick. It's called Fresher's Deli, and it's in Randolph, Mass. On Route 28. And I'm telling you, this is the place where you go in there and get a sandwich. I mean, their brisket sandwich, their pastrami sandwich, and they have one that's called the Fresher's.
And you can get the cuts there as well, right?
You can get the cuts there.
Which is amazing. Yeah, absolutely.
You can buy straight-up deli meat. You can buy knishes there. You can buy just plenty of stuff that it's like, just amazing to eat, but
they're few and far between to get good ones. I know that we have a couple here in Vegas. Greenberg's Deli is really good, and Weiss's Deli is really good.
I had a brisket sandwich from Fresher's, and it was just basically pumpernickel bread, smear of mustard on both sides.
Oh, sounds incredible.
A thin layer of red onion, and then just the thin sliced Jewish style brisket, which is not like a barbecue style. It's more like a slow roast.
And yeah, it's like a falls apart, right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, man, that sounds excellent.
And we're talking like a sandwich that was at least 2 inches thick.
They're always like huge, nice, thick cuts. They put the toothpick down the middle just to keep it together. Brilliant stuff.
And of course, it doesn't get any better unless you get it with a half sour pickle.
It's all about the pickle. Maybe pickle not first aid food, but incredible stuff.
No, we're going down the line. We're talking about, hey, let's go have a nice lunch.
This is after you've already slept with him.
Obviously. Nick, hey, do you have any recommendations?
My recommendations are a documentary series and a movie I recently watched, both on streaming, of course, still the age of COVID. I watched The Vanishing at the Cecil Hotel on Netflix. Very creepy, very informative, ends with very, like, a lot of sadness, an interesting area that I know a little bit about. I've never been the biggest fan of LA, but I've been in and around that hotel a couple times. Very fascinating stuff, and I highly recommend it. Maybe a little bit overproduced, but I still enjoyed it. That's on Netflix. And then on HBO Max just came out, Judas and the Black Messiah. Incredible performances. I wasn't in love with the narrative. I haven't exactly decided where it lands on my top 10 of the year yet, but well worth the watch.
I'm watching something on Netflix called The Derry Girls, and it's about Ireland. Northern Ireland, Southern Ireland, during the 90s.
They totally got along, no problems.
this will make you laugh, because the Derry girls, the town of Derry actually has two names. It's either Derry or Londonderry.
We are very familiar with both of those cities.
Yeah. The schoolgirls in Ireland, like in a religious school, a Catholic school.
Catholic, yeah, Irish Catholic. Worst kind of Catholic.
It's very, very funny. Very funny show, I would say. It's a good, it's binge worthy.
Is it multiple seasons, or is it new, or what's the story there?
I believe I've just started watching it, so I think it's just one season as of right now. I believe there's going to be more.
All right, interesting. Maybe I'll take a look at that.
And of course, I'm still waiting for the return of Better Call Saul to wrap it all up. So, you have any shouts out, Nick?
I do. We have a couple. Talking Flick, talkingflick.com. This past week, we covered The Social Network. I thought that was an excellent episode. And you can always find me at Real Watch on Twitter and realwatchability.com. Top 10 movies of the year, top 10 movies of all time, Rob. And if you want to get in touch with us, Rob, what's our email?
Our email is easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
Or if you want to tweet us, you can tweet us at Nick and Rob E2W. That's Nick and Rob E, the number 2, W.
Nick and Rob E2W. Hard to say still.
It's still hard to say for you. No, it's not hard to say. This has been a pleasure doing another episode with you.
Always a pleasure, Uncle Bookie. That's a fun episode. And we will see you in a couple of weeks on E2W.
Yes, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
I think we went the wrong way. Did we make a wrong turn?
Hello, Cleveland.
Do you know what it's like to be on the bill and to play for 15 minutes and the only people there to see you are the other bands and their girlfriends? Don't talk to me about rock and roll. I'm out there in the clubs and on the streets and I'm living it. I am rock and roll.
4
windmills.
3
You know why Texas doesn't have power right now? Fucking windmills. All right.